Awesome. What do you think? Isn't that great stuff? Come on, everybody. That's awesome. So awesome. I just want to give a powerful shout out to Pastor Steve Guptill, who's doing a phenomenal job as our small groups pastor. Come on, everybody. Let's just give it up for Pastor Steve. What a tremendous serve day yesterday. And the most important thing is there was a lot of God connections and connecting people with God. That's what this thing is really all about. And just want to say thank you for all those that participated in making a difference in our community, which is what we're trying to do. Amen? For the glory of God. There was a lot of water handed out on the Greenway. And you know what the Bible says about that? You give a cup of water in Jesus' name, you're going to be blessed. Well, they gave out about 150 water bottles, so that's awesome. So a lot of blessings there. So we're thankful for the impact that you guys are having in our community for the name of Christ. And so let me also, before I do anything else, pause right here and welcome those that are just now joining us online. We're glad to have you along for the ride. Glad you're here today. Come on, everybody. Welcome those that are joining us. And let me just say, I have so thoroughly enjoyed this series that we're in, Summer at Cross Point, as various speakers are sharing and just have a way of presenting things in a way that I don't, but it's unique to them. And God has gifted all of us with the ability to share our story and just share from God's Word what God has laid on their heart. I'm just really excited about today. Laura Garza is going to be speaking to you today. And let me just say before she comes how much I value her and her ministry here at Cross Point. She and along with her husband Jordan lead our youth ministry here. She and her husband also serve on our worship team and are doing a tremendous job. What a great spirit she has, and she's such an encourager. You can't look at Laura and not smile, you know? I mean, she just looks at you. She's got this glow and this smile and this uplifting, encouraging spirit. And so as she's speaking today, I know you're going to be smiling back at her and encouraging her as she encourages us in the Word. But I've just, the joy has been to just watch Laura grow. I mean, she's a committed follower of Christ, but as I've gotten to know her and over the few years we've known her, I've just watched her grow in her relationship with the Lord. And I tell you, that's what's fulfilling is to see growth happening. And so I'm just so proud of her and her whole family, and her family's here today. And so we're just really excited. But I just want to get out of her way. But would you do me a favor? Would you give her a warm welcome as she comes to speak? Come on, Laura. God bless you today.
Okay, well, thank you, Pastor, so much for that. That was very kind. I wasn't expecting all those kind words. Like he said, I have been on a wonderful journey with Christ, and that's salvation. That's what it is. And he's just been teaching me some really great new things about faith and what it means to be a follower of him, especially this series at Summer at Cross Point. It has been one, a very encouragement. A lot of transformation has happened, even in my own life. So definitely check those out, because I think God can do a lot of good and work in your life as well. I told Steve last week, I said, I have a bone to pick with you, because you stole what I was going to talk about. So, you know, this is going to be part two. It's going to be a little bit different. But he spoke about love, and it was really encouraging. But we're just going to look at it in a different type of way. And we'll kind of put that on the back burner. We'll pick that back up. But the goal for us today, or that I have for us, is that we discover what it really means to be a Christian. And if we can unpack that more, I want us to answer why somebody would want to be one. And for that, we kind of have to look at, you know, what do we see kind of around our world. If we look at history, sometimes Christians don't always have the best rap. And I think sometimes we judge, you know, on the bad things, even each other. You know, if somebody's, you know, has car road rage, you know, they're angry and they're upset, and you're like, wow, that person is evil. You know what I mean? They are mad. But really, maybe they just have to go to the bathroom. Okay. I've been there. Okay. Or maybe there's somebody in line in front of you who's really frustrated at the teller, and you're like, okay, well, they just need to calm down a little bit. It's not that serious. Well, we really don't know what's going on in their life. And that's not their true person. Well, you know, they're really, you know, irrational and just up here. That might not be who they are. So I want to kind of unpack you know, some of those misconceptions that I think people really think and hear about Christians. I want you all to understand what God says about his followers and his people. So we'll start by saying, I think people think it's all about rules. You know, it's you have to go to church, you have to read your Bible, you have to, you know, say this type of prayer, and, you know, there you go. That's how you earn God's love. And that's not always the case. And feel free to take notes if you would like. There's no obligation, but I just have some points. Obviously, Theron Jr., thank you so much for putting those up there. The next is moral superiority. So a lot of the times it's all about being good. You know, that's what people think. Maybe that's, you know, well, I believe in God. I think that, you know, if I just do the right things, then I'll go to heaven. You know, I believe in God, I'm good. Or some people think, well, Christians are really good and I could never be good enough. So a lot of the times it's, well, I've done this, you know, this sin, or I've, you know, I've really hurt somebody really bad and I just, Christ can never love me. He can't, you know, ever forgive me of my sins. Or sometimes people think, you know, Christianity is no fun. It's very strict, rigid. You can't, you know, watch this movie or you can't listen to this song. It's very just like, you know, that's not it at all. I'll tell you, just like Pastor said today, you're to be glad. You become thankful. Or the exact opposite. It's all fun. And, you know, it's, well, I have God's grace, he loves me. You know, he's the only one who can judge me. I can go out and do whatever I want and then just ask for forgiveness and it's all okay. And that's not really what it's about either. And again, we'll unpack that more. So what does it really mean to be a Christian? We have to talk about the world in which we live. And which means we live in a fallen world, okay? So when we think back to the story of creation, we think of Adam and Eve, right? I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. If not, God has created these two beings. They were in right relation with God. He would come down and he would talk with them in the evenings. Everything was good. But the enemy came and distorted God's truth. And when Adam and Eve believed this lie, sin entered the world. So let's move on to Romans 5:12. It said, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought about death. So death spread to everyone, and for everyone sinned. So as we know, we all die. It's not fun. It's not pleasant. But there is a hope, and we'll get to that as well. But our earth dies. Our earth is suffering. Our world is suffering. And we can see that a lot. You know, and we also sin as well. We, you know, I have wronged people. You know, I'll be the first to admit I have sinned and I have, you know, wronged somebody and I apologize, you know, and I think we can all say, yeah, I've done something wrong, or, you know, this has impacted me a lot and I'm hurting. When we look at Genesis 6:5, it says, the Lord observed the extent of the human wickedness on earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So as we know, our nature is evil. And sometimes you can think, well, that's kind of harsh. You know what I mean? It can be very, you know, I do good things. You know, I do volunteer work. You know what I mean? I go out and, you know, I hold the door for people. I'm not sure. Whatever that may be for you. But it's all about your intent. Are you doing it to please others or for yourself? You know what I mean? And ultimately, we all have done something in evilness or wickedness. So, I mean, if we bring that to present day, obviously we're still living in this fallen world, right? And some people say, you know, well, especially more with our social media, you know, if we're looking at movies and things like that, we're seeing all the good that, you know, of people's lives. You know what I mean? We don't hear about the tough stuff. People always present what's good. And we all kind of go through these stages of life. So maybe it's learning how to walk, riding a bike, you know, joining a football team or graduating high school, getting married, having kids, going on vacation. I love vacation, so that's a good thing, right? But also, too, through some of those good things, we experience some bad things. And I have a hard time labeling things good and bad, because I think that's a humanistic type of way to look at things. I think God defines those as different. And I again, these are a lot of things that we'll kind of explain more, but I think it's things that we see that are bad and what good could come from it. So bad things, maybe like failing a grade, having a bad breakup, losing a loved one, losing a job, sickness, just all around people hurting in our world, addictions and oppressions. And even if we haven't experienced, you know, some of those things, you know, we've all experienced, you know, trials, persecutions, temptations. That's something that we all can say we have in common. And as we can come to this conclusion that it's, you know, the troubles, we face troubles because we live in the fallen world. Excuse me. So sometimes these troubles can be some that are given to us. Maybe we're born into it. You know, maybe sometimes people are born blind, or they have some type of sickness. Excuse me, I need to get a glass of water. Excuse me, I'm not used to using my voice this much in the morning. Normally I'm singing, then I'm like, yes, amen. So, and that's my laugh, so that was like on blast for you all. So where were we? So we live in a fallen world, and sometimes it can be ones that we're kind of just born with, or ones that we've kind of created our own. You know, maybe again, maybe you've wronged somebody or hurt somebody, or maybe you did a boo-boo and you didn't expect that outcome to happen. You know, we live in this fallen world. Romans 7, 24 says, I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? And I can sense that, because even in myself, there are times where I feel I'm at the end of myself in my struggle. Where can that hope be? You know what I mean? You have nothing else to give. And I think a lot of the times we search in life, we cling to people for help, or we cling to things, addictions, or we cling to an identity in this world to kind of fulfill that. And that's only an instant gratification. It's not life-fulfilling or sustaining. And so we come to our answer. We have a hope, which is Christ. Okay? Christ is our answer. Where's that amen? Thank you. Thank you. Right? He is our answer, you guys. That should be exciting. So Psalm 10:17 says, Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Surely you will hear their cries and comfort them. Now let me tell you, God has answered that prayer. God has answered that cry. And I know sometimes in your struggle and you're right now where you're unsure, God is answering that. And I can attest to that, and I can tell you that there is hope, there is joy in the morning outside of your darkness and outside of the storm that you're in, okay? Believe that today, okay? So we can understand that we're in this hurting world, so God has given us Jesus, and that's where our grace comes in. Thank you, God, for your grace. You're so good. He was the ultimate sacrifice. Again, remember, we're talking about, you know, there's these rules, I think a lot of Christians, you know, or, excuse me, what non-believers think that Christians have to do, you know, you have to do this, have to do that. No, that was abolished. We don't have to do that anymore. Christ, and actually, let me rephrase that. It was fulfilled. In the Old Testament, they had to do sacrifices in a way to purify themselves. They had to make themselves in a way that God could look on them, because God could not look on them. We are unpure, we are unholy. He himself is so pure that he can't look at sin. And so to do that, we had to. And Jesus was that ultimate sacrifice. When he lived, he did not sin. You know, he did not have that sinful nature within him. He was crucified on the cross, dead, buried, and he was resurrected. And, you know, now we have, you know, the Holy Spirit. Christ has given us this wonderful thing of his Spirit. But to be a true follower of Christ, we have to understand about his grace. We have to understand about his forgiveness in our lives. And I want to unpack that when we look at Romans 6:22. We're just going to look at that first part of the verse. For the wages of sin is death. Okay, Christ died for us. Yay, that's the wages of sin. Let me put it in a more practical way, if that's okay. Okay, many of you know that I am a college student or a recent graduate, right? I have an enormous amount of school debt, okay? Right? So what if, is there anybody out there actually who would like to pay that debt for me, you know? Oh, look at that. There's the love right there. So with that, okay, I'll take you up on that offer. Okay, you pay my debt. Thank you. Now I don't have to. But that's not a free gift. They had to pay for that. They had to work for that money. They had to, you know, however that works, but it's not free, you know? So that was a sacrifice on their part. And so when Christ died, that's a sacrifice that he made for us because he is pure. So with that being said, there's a but there at the end of this sentence, or at the end of this verse, excuse me. It says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the free gift, is eternal life. So yes, God has said, look, I'm going to pay your debt, all your school debt, you know what I mean? And I'm going to give you a ride home, right? Or, you know what I mean? Like a Sunday. I don't know. And Jesus says, look, I'm going to sacrifice my life for you and you can have eternal life. I want to be, you know, in relation with you. I want to live with you. I want to be your friend. I forgive you for wronging me, for disobeying me, and the goodness that I have. I want to make you a better person. That's what God says to us. He loves us. So what have we discovered? This is one big love story, okay? And I'm a sap because I love stories. Is there anybody out there who like love stories too? Thank you. I was like, oh, I'm not the only one. So, you know, love stories, they make you weep. You get happy, you know what I mean? And sometimes, you know, there's always a bad thing that happens in a love story. You think, oh my goodness, they're not going to be together. And that's what we can kind of think too when Christ died on the cross. We think, oh my goodness, he said he was the Savior. No, but there's a hope because he rose again. Yes. Thank you. You know, John 3:16 says, so God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He loves us. He wants to restore the wrongs that we have done in this world. He's the light that was brought into this dark and broken world. It's our hope that good can truly come from this world around us. When we look at Romans 5:18, it said, yes, Adam's the one who brings sin and condemnation for everyone. I apologize if I said that all wrong. He asked me to preach, not to read, so. You know, he's the one who brings condemnation for everyone. But Christ's one act brings a relationship. That should be exciting. Isn't that exciting? Let's hear it. Come on, guys. Be alive out there. Okay? And it's a new life with everyone. So God, he laid down his life for us, and we get to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because once he was resurrected from the dead and he ascended into heaven, we received his Spirit. And so that is the one who he guides us. He's part of the Trinity. He's God himself. And he's the one who gives us God's truth. He shows us his love and just is ultimately the one who is with us in this dark and broken world. So what if we, again, come to discover it's a relationship? And this makes me think of the relationship that I have with my husband. I love my husband, Jordan. He's so great. And I desire to make him happy. So, you know, I cook. I love to cook as well. But I want to see a smile on his face and make sure his clothes smell good for when he goes to work and, you know, that he comes home and, you know, he's greeted with a hug. You know what I mean? Like, I desire to make him happy. And that's what it is with God. We desire to please him. You know, we want to go out and do his commands, which is go and make disciples. You know, we desire to do that because we understand what he has done for us. And with Jordan, when we started dating, I didn't want to date other guys. You know what I mean? I wanted to get to know him. I wanted to go on dates and say, what makes you happy? What makes you sad? You know what I mean? Like, what kind of surprises do you like for your birthday? You know, how can we make our relationship work. And I think that's with God. He wants to know you. And I think he does know you in an intimate way. It's we that need to know him in an intimate way. How can we please God? And it's not we lose the distractions of this world when we're consumed by God. You know, it's, well, I have a peace and a hope about this because right now it's God who I'm praising. It's God who my eyes are on. And God will work this out. And it might not necessarily be right now, but God will make it work for his good. So with that being said, Jordan, he's mine. I'm his. God calls you his, okay? And we need to believe that and know that we are children of God. And I think a lot of the times we don't believe that. We try and find our identity in the world. Remember what I talked about earlier is how, like, a lot of the times we're seeking fulfillment through a lot of things, trying to find that hope in this world, and we can't find it. And I'll tell you now that you won't be able to. You have to find your fulfillment in God because he calls you his, you are his child. Let's look at the next verse, Romans 6:22. But now you are free from the power of sin. So yes, it entangles us. You know what I mean? There is this desire to, you know, maybe it's a jealousy, maybe it's a selfish type of desire. But God says, I have power, giving you the power over that, over your sin. You have become slaves of God. And now slaves can be kind of, you're like, well, now I don't want to be a slave to anything. But when you love God, that's what it looks like. You know what I mean? You desire, I'm going out in his name. That is my master. I want to go please him. I want to go tell him of all the works that he's doing in my life. Okay? And it says, now you do these things that lead to holiness. And as a result, and results eternal life. That should be exciting. Come on, can I hear amen out there? Thank you, guys. So, yes, holiness can be another scary church term as well. You know, you're like, well, I'm telling you, I am not perfect. I don't think God is asking you to be perfect. I think God wants you to submit yourself to him and trust in him, and God does the work within you. God says, be transformed with the renewing of your mind. Yes. Yes. And so with that being said, holiness means to be set apart. It's another word of like sanctification. That's another Christian term, but that can be kind of scary. So we'll just say we're going to be set apart for Christ. Yes, we live in a fallen and broken world, but God has a plan for that. He wants to give you a hope, a joy, a peace, to go out and share that gospel with people. Share about the good things that he's doing in your life, okay? And there are benefits, okay? I want to share those with you. You have this new freedom. Again, we're not bound by sin. We're not, you know? We have the freedom to choose not to. As Pastor has said in the past, there becomes this distaste in your mouth for sin. You don't desire to do that anymore. Those addictions or those habits or those thoughts, they just flee. And there's this new focus. Again, my eyes are set on Christ, what he has in store for us. And it's not about necessarily what's going on in the world, but what's on God. And there's a new future. And we'll talk about that, okay? In Colossians 2:6-7. So then, just as you have received Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So sometimes I think people are unsure how to tap into the future part. How do I tap into this free gift that God has for me? I accept that, you know, I said, yes, I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe in that sacrifice that he made. But how do I tap into this eternal life thing? Because isn't it, you know, I just accept Christ and then one day when I die, I'll go to heaven? That's not all the story. God says, I mean, Christ said that the kingdom is here and now. And in that moment, he was talking about himself. Now that we have the Holy Spirit, the kingdom is here. It has come. Can I get another amen? Thank you. To act in that new gift, that means to repent. And repent is, again, another scary church term. I'm like, But if you Googled the word repent, it would be mean to be remorseful or to say sorry. That's not how God uses that term. Repent means to change your mind and your heart. Okay, so this is turning away from your own sin. So maybe it's an addiction. You're saying, God, like, I don't want to live in this sin of my addiction. I'm going to turn and look towards you. I'm going to trust in you. And you're going to right my wrongs. You know what I mean? You're going to make those right. And it becomes your new future. So again, repenting is a major part. How do we show God that we love him? It's through repentance, because ultimately the motivation of repentance is by love and desiring to follow Christ. Because I love my husband, I don't desire to love anybody else. Same with Christ. Because I love him, I don't desire anything else. Okay? So now let's act on those benefits that we have. We continue in Christ, okay? Just as it says in Colossians, continue to live your lives in him. God's word says that he is the vine and we are the branch. That means that, like, we can bear fruit from the Holy Spirit. And again, that's kind of heavy, so if some of you don't know what that means, that just means that God has, the gifts of the fruit of the Holy Spirit are, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, forgiveness. What else am I forgetting? Is that good? It's all those things, not just one. It's all of them encompassing. And so we get to continue in that. We're rooted in him, in his word, and in his church. Ultimately, this is where you're going to find people who can pray over you, send you scripture to encourage you, and help you through your struggles. Again, many of us, we want to go back to kind of that sinful nature. And God says, no, I have a better way for you. And you need help through this. It's a journey and a relationship. So be encouraged. Again, strengthen in the faith, knowing that even though there's good and bad, God has your best interest in heart. I think as well, you know, we're using those terms good and bad. And I don't necessarily, again, like to use those terms, but I guess that kind of brings me to my own story. I know many of you know that last October, my brother passed away very unexpectedly, very tragically. And in that moment, it was very confusing for our family. But as I remained in God, I was continued to be reminded of his truth. Again, I was overflowing with thankfulness for what Christ has done in my life. I was thankful for my brother, for all the arguments that we had, okay? I will say that. Like, there were, you know, nobody else could argue with my brother except for me. And my younger brother, you know what I mean? That's okay. But, you know, I was thankful for the father he was to his kids. Thankful that he was able to serve our community and our nation, you know, with being a police officer and being in the Marines. Like, I'm just so thankful. And also, I'm thankful that he knew God. He had a relationship with God. And that means that we can meet again. Yes, thank you. Like, we'll be able to meet again. And I have hope in that. That gives me hope. That gives me a peace. That gives me a joy. Because I'm like, devil, you are not winning in my life. You're not winning in his life. God, you're winning. Yes. So with that being said, I was rooted in the word and built up by my family, my church family. You guys, I am so thankful for your prayers and your wisdom in my time. God really did work within me. I really had to seek after him, say, God, you know, I don't understand this. I don't understand what good could come from this. You know what I mean? Again, where's that term good and bad? But God did make it good. I told God in conversation that I don't want my brother's death to be in vain, that I will glorify God because of this. I will not turn my back on God at all. And I will sing praises for him because he loves me that much to say, Laura, I want you to be in relation with me And you know what that means? You get to see your brother again. And so I was overjoyed and thankful for that. It was that peace, and that gave me my encouragement, just like it says in Colossians. And I know many of you can probably relate to this story. And maybe it wasn't a death, but we live in darkness. This world is dark. The darkness is real. You can't cover it up. We live in the fallen world, still in sin. Even with all the good news in the world, we experience sadness, disappointment, and despair. You look at those around who are, you know, are abused, and you know that there's darkness in the world. All over this world, it's broken. Whatever darkness is in your life or the pain that you have, and again, maybe it's something that you were born in or something that you've done, we have to remember God's response to our pain. It is to come into the dark himself and be born right in the middle of it, so he could suffer, cry, and die right along each and every one of us. The light shines in the darkness. God knows it's dark here. God knows it hurts to live here in the dark. And that's the truth for everyone. It just hurts a little more when you try to go through the darkness alone, without a light and without a friend. God wants to be that light in your world of darkness. God wants you to snuggle up right next to him and say, "I'll hold you when you hurt." He forgives you even though you've hurt him, even though you're not perfect. He desires you to live with him in relation, becoming more like Christ, more like him, and telling the world of what he's doing in your life. He desires to stay by your side and go through absolutely everything with you. And today, if you haven't experienced that joy and that hope that you get when God is with you through the darkness, today is that day where you can do that. You can accept the sacrifice of God's gift for you, but you can also act in that free gift. You can join in that hope that God has for you. And I'm going to invite Pastor to come up and do that prayer with us, because it's about acting. You're saying, "God, right now I'm accepting you. I'm accepting that gift. And I'm also going to act in that free gift."
What a beautiful message. And I think a theme that ran through this whole thing about what this thing is all about is what she just hit on, cultivated this in, and that is it's about relationship. About relationship. Aren't you glad that those things that the devil sends for bad, God turns it around for good? And the Bible even says that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who those who are called according to his purpose. So God's purpose in your life is good. And he wants to be that friend. He wants to be that one that walks with you through those dark places. Because there are dark places in this world. And Jesus said, that's the truth. He said, in this life, you're going to have trouble. But, he said, be of good cheer. So it's been amazing to watch Laura, as I know that this has been a difficult year with the loss of her brother. But yet in the midst of that, we witness such joy. What is that? It's that friend that's walking with her that she spoke about. And you may be here today and you need that friend to walk with you in that place. I don't know where you are right now in your journey, but all I know is there is a friend that sticketh close to, that's closer than a brother. He's here to walk with you. And when he walks with you, there's purpose to it all. Amen. So here's what I like to do. Maybe that's you and you say, "I don't know if I have that kind of relationship that Laura talking about, that she's experienced. I know about him, but I don't know that I really am walking in that place with him. I want to give you a wonderful opportunity. I want to lead this prayer that Laura was speaking about. And I just want right now, would you just bow your heads with me? If you're watching online, would you just, we just want to include you in this as well. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, when you lead that prayer, when you give this opportunity for me to enter into this relationship, and maybe you've been in a relationship, but it's not where it needs to be, and you know it. I want to ask you today to take this opportunity to allow him to come in and be in the rightful place he needs to be. Maybe he's in your life, but he's not first. You know, he's just somewhere on the list. Well, guess what? If he's not at the top of the list, he might as well not be on the list. Because when he's at the top of the list, everything else is in its right order. And that's really what salvation is all about, is reordering your life to reflect that Jesus Christ is number one. So I just want to help lead you in a prayer right where you are or right there where you're watching online. If that's you today and say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in that prayer? Would you include me in that prayer? Would you just slip up a hand right where you are, just quickly, just slip up a hand and put it right back down. Yes, God bless you. Proud of you. Good job. Awesome. Good job. Others, amen. God bless you today. If you're watching online, you can let us know online or you can email us, but join us just right where you are. This is between you and God. I'm just helping you with the words, okay? All you've got to do is mean it, but come on, let's just pray together. I like everybody to pray in this place for support of those that need to pray this. So pray something like this. Just say, today, God, I thank you for loving me. Life can be difficult, but you have come to be my strength, to be my helper, to be my guide, and to give me hope. I need you, Lord. So today, I invite you to come into my life. Thank you for paying a debt that I could not pay. So today, I want my past settled. Forgive me of my mistakes and, yes, my sins. Come in. Make me brand new on the inside. Today, I give you my life. I surrender to you. Help me now to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Father, thank you for every person who needed to pray that prayer and prayed it. I pray over them. I pray, God, that you would help them as they follow you. Because we've now encountered your love and your grace, and you have forgiven, and the past is the past, and all things have become new. But God, it's not just about meeting you, but now it's about walking with you in a relationship. So I pray today, as Laura so beautifully shared, help us to walk in relationship with you. That's all you want, God. Help us to walk with you step by step. I pray you give them strength day by day that they'll go on to know you more and more. And Father, I pray for this entire church. God, help us as a church that we would be the light in the midst of a dark world, that we would be the hope in the midst of a hopeless society, God, because of Jesus Christ, who has made all the difference in us. Help us to reflect who you are to this world. And God, for everything, God, that's accomplished, we give you all the praise, all the credit, all the glory. For it's in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen.